Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Chav Gimel. We're holding four lines from the bottom of the Amud. As you recall, we learned yesterday in the Mishnah that after the Bezin was Mekadesh the Chodesh, to be able to tell all of the people in the Bnei Gola when Rish Chodesh was decided, they were Masiyan Masuais. Masiyan Masuais, you remember we learned in the Gemara yesterday, means they made large bonfires on a series of mountains. The first mountain was Har Mishcha, which is Har Zeisim. After that, Sartava, Grufina, Chavron, and Beis Baltzin. Those are the five mountains which are enumerated in the Mishnah. They started one bonfire, then the second, and the third, and so on and so forth. So now we're up to four lines on the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Ein Masiyan Masuais, Ela Ala Chodesh Shenira Bizmanoi Lekadshoi. The only time that they would have this minhag of lighting the bonfires on the first mountain, and then on the second, and then on the third, etc., is only when the Chodesh is near Bizmanoi Lekadshoi. What does that mean, Bizmanoi Lekadshoi? That it was, in fact, after 29 days, on the 30th day, they were Mekadesh the Chodesh, as opposed to where you had a Chodesh Mole, and then that they would go and be Mekadesh the Chodesh on the 31st day, meaning after 30 of the old month, day number one of the new month. So therefore, they only went and put up the fires when it was a prior Chodesh Choser, not when the prior month was a Chodesh Mole. The question is why, and we'll see that Mi'at Hashem on the next line. When would they go and put up the fires to advise the Bnei Gola, the Bnei Chutzlaretz, that they were Mekadosh the Chodesh? Says the Gemara, Li'oir Iburoi. What means Li'oir Iburoi? Normally, Oir, like we have in Masechtas Pesachim, Oir La'arba Osar, Oir typically means the night before Arba Osar. Here, Oir Iburoi means the night after Iburoi. Iburoi doesn't mean that they were Ma'abed Chodesh. The word Ibur means the day that would have been the Ibur for the Chodesh, had the Chodesh been a Chodesh Mole. Meaning, as we know, 6 months a year, typically, the Chodesh is Choser, that there are 29 days. The next day is Rish Chodesh of the new month. 6 months of the year, the Chodesh is 30 days, and then on the 31st day, the first day of the new month, becomes Rosh Chodesh. So in our Gemara, when we refer to the word Ibur, Ibur always means the 30th day. Regardless of whether the previous month was a Choser or whether it was a Malay, that day is called Iburai. The reason why it's called Iburai is because had the month been a long month, a 30-day month, that would have been the Ibur of that month. That would have been the additional day added to the month. So when you see the word Iburai in these connections, it means the 30th day. So what the Gemara is telling us is the Oir Iburai means the night after the 30th day, when it was a Chodesh Choser, meaning that day was crowned and sanctified as the new Rosh Chodesh, Matza Rosh Chodesh, that's when they put up the bonfires. Which is, of course, very, very logical. Because on Rosh Chodesh, on the Iburai, meaning on the 30th day, when the Bezin sanctified and says, Mekudesh HaChodesh, then that night, when bonfires would be helpful, putting up a fire during the day is not very helpful because you wouldn't see it far away, but at night you would see it far away, so then they would go and do the Oir Iburai. So again, Ein Masi and Masuis, when would they put up the fires? Not every month, only those 6 months a year when it was a Chodesh Choser, El Al Chodesh Nira Bizmani Lekadshoi, where the Edom came, and they came Bizmanoi. Bizmani means on the night between 29 and 30, so that now in the 30th day, Bezin could say, I'm being Mekadesh the Chodesh. Ve'imasai Masiyan, when would they put up those fires? The Oir Iburai, the next night, which means the night between 30 and 31, which means Motzeh Rosh Chodesh. Lememre, says the Gemara, the Achoser of Dinan Amoli Lo Yavdinan. What this Bryce is telling us very clearly is that you only put up the fires to advise the Goyla if the month was a short month. That means the prior month with a short month of 29 days, and so therefore Rosh Chodesh is on day number 30. But if the previous month was 30 days, and Rosh Chodesh is now on day number 31, lo yavdil. The obvious question is, my time of Vosnisht, why are we discriminating against the months which are Malay? Amrav Zeira, Gezeira Mishim Rosh Chodesh Choser Shechol Liyois Bi Erev Shabbos. What happens if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Erev Shabbos? Meaning that day number 30 was Erev Shabbos, so day 29 was Thursday, and now Friday is day number 30, which, by the way, is our week. And Mi'etz Hashem, this Friday is going to be Rosh Chodesh, at least that's what I assume that the rabbi announced on Shabbos. That's what they announced the month. So presumably, they announced it. Okay, very good. So, Baruch Hashem, it's unanimous, it's universal. This Rosh Chodesh, Mi'at Shem, this Friday will be Rosh Chodesh. So now, under normal circumstances, what happens? After the Bezin is Mekadesh, the Chodesh, on Friday, so that night, which would be Friday night, they should be Masi and Masois. B'chas Hashem, Chil Shabbos, it can't be Masi and Masois. So when are they going to have to be Masi and Masois? Amos Avdi, Bafuki Shabbata, on Motzei Shabbos. Afuki means when Shabbos leaves. Again, my time, what's the reason why they only did it on Chaser, not on Malay? Gezeir Omer, Bzeir, Gezeir, Mishim, Rish, Chodesh, Chaser, Shechol, Yes, Erev Shabbos, on those occasions where the previous month was Chaser, and now Rish Chodesh is declared on Erev Shabbos on Friday. Amos Abdi, when could the Masi and Masuis take place? It's got to take place on Fukit Shabbat, it's got to place on Matzah Shabbos. Says Imar, the Amris, Navid, Nami, Amalei, if you're going to go and tell me that we should be Masi and Masuais in all cases, both on the Chaser and on the Malay, you know what's going to happen? Since Matzah Shabbos, they're going to put up the fire, Osalamiti, people will get confused. And Amri, they're going to go and say, the Matzah Shabbos fire could be for one of two reasons. It could be, says the one on top, Hai Chaser Hu, because the old month was Chaser and ended on Thursday. The new Rish Chodesh started on Friday. I vitally of me asked, well, why didn't they put up the fire Friday night? Oy Dilma, maybe it was Malihu. Maybe in fact Rish Chodesh was today on Shabbos, not on Friday. It was a Chodesh Malay, and therefore the new Rish Chodesh was today on Shabbos. And that's the reason why they're making the fire tonight. Ubizmane Avdu. And now they're doing Ubizman the way you're supposed to. After they crown the new Rish Chodesh, then they put it on, then they put it to Masi Masuris and Masi Shabbos. So to avoid that potential confusion, they said, you know what? From now on, we're only going to do it on Chaser. We're never going to do it on Malay. So when you have such a situation on Matzah Shabbos, if they put up the fire, everybody will know that's not a Malay. We never make fires for Malay. We only do fires for Chaser. Muzach said that the Rish Chodesh was from Friday. Rish Chodesh was on Friday and not on Shabbos. Of course, you can go and say, so why don't we do it in reverse? Only do it on Malays and not on Chasers. And the Gemara is going to ask that kash in another five lines in Mi'at Hashem. But in the meantime, the Gemara says we only do it on Chaser, and we don't do it on Malay to avoid the possibility of confusion.
I apologize. What does Masi and Masuos mean?
Masi and Masuos means that after the Bezdin sanctified the new Chodesh, so that people in Gola, outside Eretz Yisrael, would know. This is the time before they had telephones, emails, faxes, telegrams, telexes, etc. How would they know? They would make bonfires. So the word Masi and Masuos means to make a bonfire on the mountain tops. And in our Mishnah we said there were five mountain tops that they made the fires. One, and then the second, and the third, until it spread to the Gola. Then, the first fire they made was on Har HaZeisim, which as you know is Yerushalayim, and then eight parsois away, which is 32 mil, we'll see Mitchum on the Amud Beis, when the people on the second mountaintop saw that there was fire activity on the first mountaintop, then they made their fire. After their fire was made, then the next mountaintop, which was another eight parsa further, they saw that there was a fire, and then they made a fire, and so on and so forth, until the entire Gola was, Mishnah said, Roya Kola Gola Lafon of Kedura Seish. The whole Bava looked like it was all up in flames. That's how many mountaintops were full of fire.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. In fact, the Gemara, third wide line from the top, third line from the top of the Amid, V'levet bein amoli bein achaser. Why don't I go and institute, instead of saying that we only make the masi and masuos when the chodesh is chaser, let's do it every time. Bein amoli uvein achaser. Ah, you asked about the Friday Shabbos issue. V'chinikla Rosh Chodesh be'erev Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh were to fall out in erev Shabbos, loy levet klal, then don't make a fire. After all, you cannot make a fire on Friday night. And when it comes Matzah Shabbos, also, what are you going to do at that time? You're going to go the kiven v'loy avdinan Matzoi Shabbos. So Gemara is saying, normally make it bein amoli or bein achaser. When Rosh Chodesh comes at Erev Shabbos, don't make it. In other words, that should be the rule. Not that the rule should be we only make it on Chaser, and we don't do it on Malay, but rather we always make Masih and Asuiz, Beina Malay, Beina Chaser. The only time that we don't do it is when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Fridays. Why not? We can't. It's impossible. The Kivan Delay of Dinan Matzah Shabbos, well, Dinan Amalay, since normally we do make the fire on a Matzah Shabbos, and sorry, Kivan Delay of Dinan Matzah Shabbos, since this Matzah Shabbos we're not going to do it. Why not? Because Rosh Chodesh came out on Friday, and we're not going to go and be Masi and Masuis for that Rosh Chodesh. That would be the only exception. When Friday comes out, Rosh Chodesh falls out on Friday, then no Masi and Masuis. Otherwise, yes. Ah, v'kivin lo yavdin on Matzah Shabbos, v'avdin on Amoleh, so if that Matzah Shabbos, they are not going to make the fire, and normally they do make fires on Amoleh, so people will start scratching their heads. Hey, it was Rosh Chodesh this week. It was Friday, Shabbos, I'm not exactly sure. But one thing I see, they're not making a fire. People will know, maybe Yali de Chaser Hu. They'll know that it's Chaser because that will be the rule. So again, instead of saying that the rule is only make it on Chaser, never make it on Malay, so that there won't be confusion when you have such a Friday Shabbos situation, I have a better idea. Always be Masi and Masuis both on Chaser and on Malay. The only exception to the rule will be those few times a year when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Friday, then don't do it. Why don't do it? Because you can't make it that night. It's Friday night. When you're not going to do it that Matzah Shabbos, and people know Vavdin on Amoleh, usually on Amoleh you do it, so if Rosh Chodesh fell on Shabbos, how can we wear Masi Masuos tonight? Oh, I know why. Because it wasn't Rosh Chodesh today. Rosh Chodesh was yesterday on Friday. Maybe Ali the Chaser Hu. People know that it's Chaser. So isn't that a wonderful Eitzah Toiva? And therefore, after all, how often does it happen that Rosh Chodesh comes out on Erev Shabbos? Once every 6 months, maybe once a year, you know, depending on how the months flow. Doesn't happen necessarily, you know, in Muntig and Donnerstig, again, because it's on Friday. So the point is, it only happens once in a while. So instead of making a takana, only doing on Chaser, and not doing on Molly because of the Friday situation, when you have that Friday situation, the easy answer is, don't be Masi and Masuos on Friday night. And then, since you're not going to be Masi and Masuos on Matzah Shabbos, because it was a Friday Rosh Chodesh, everybody will know that it was Chaser. Because if, in fact, Rosh Chodesh came out on Shabbos, we would be Masi and Masuos on Matzah Shabbos. So the absence of being Masi and Masuos on Matzah Shabbos, everybody will know it's Friday. Isn't that a wonderful answer? Everything will know, afil hachi asil mitzvah, they still might make a mistake. There still might be confusion. Amri, some people would say, hi Molihu, the truth of the matter is Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos. It wasn't on Friday. Nu oy bezoi v'haidle avdi, so why didn't they put up the fire tonight? Isnusi hu disnusi. There was some sort of oinus. What was the oinus? The Gemara doesn't tell us. Rashi gives a suggestion on the first narrow line. This no say b'shikras shel mishtabit haShabbos. On Shabbos, everybody engaged in oinik Shabbos. There was a groisa kiddush and a groisa tikkun and Baruch Hashem at the bizzle ketrinkin. And by Matzah Shabbos, some people were still very tired out from drinking a little bit too much, and therefore, I'm sorry.
This is sorry for the kiddush class.
There's no problem with the Kiddush Club if it starts after the last Kaddish after Aleinu. There's no problem. The problem with the Kiddush clubs is that you're not happy with that. The problem with the Kiddush clubs is some people start before Brachas and some people right after Hoidu and some people Yishtabach or Sheikhanad. That's where the problem lies. Anyway, beginning back to Agmar. The reason why they didn't make it is because there was an Oinus. And therefore, now Matzah Shabbos, he didn't put up the fire. Is it because it was a Friday Rish Chodesh and you're not supposed to, like according to this new rule, or was it a Shabbos and there was an Oinus? It could be other Oinusim. There was a traffic problem. They didn't have wood to be able to go and make the bonfire, or whatever. Anyway, so therefore it would not be conclusive. That's why they had that original rule, only doing an Amchaser, not doing an Amoli. Frey Timura. Now let's do the other way around. The Levin Amole, Vele Levin Achoser. In other words, yes, the mirror image. You're right. If you're going to do it every single time, Choser Amole, Matzah Shabbos is mass confusion. But if you're only going to do it one of the times, only by Choser, then you'll know. So, Frank Timor, do it only on Mole, and then you'll know. Vele Levin Amole, Vele Levin Achoser. Vele Levin Achoser Klal. Om Rabbi Mishum Bittel Melocha Li'am Shnei Yam. Because we're afraid of Bittul Melacha. What does the Gemara mean by that? What the Gemara means by that is, let's think about this for a moment. You have, the 30th day has passed. And if, according to what the Gemara is saying now, if it's a Choser, don't put up the Masih and Masur. Only do it by Male. Ah, so now everybody on the 31st on the morning are thinking to themselves, so what happened? Was it Takarish Chodesh yesterday? And the reason why they didn't go and put up the fire is because we're only doing it on Mole. Oh, so there's going to be tonight, there's going to be a fire? Or maybe because, in fact, they weren't Mekadosh the new Chodesh yet. Maybe the Chodesh is going to be Niskadosh today on day number 31, and we're going to have to wait until tonight to wait for the fire to be put up on the mountaintops. Everybody's going to be Tzachish, Tzaridit, Tzamisht, Voset Tzayin, Vosvev, Eva. But besides all of that Tzachish and Tzamisht, there's another problem that has to do with Rosh Hashanah. What does it have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Because if you're going to go, if Rosh Hashanah was on day 30, meaning that El was 29 days. So El is day 30, so then on Matzah, according to the Takana that they instituted, that only on Chaser, on Matzah day 30, they're going to put up Masih and Masoyis. We know that it was Rosh Hashanah was yesterday. No need to go and make Rosh Hashanah a second day. This is obviously talking before the days that they instituted 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael. However, in the good old days before then, there was only one day. So as soon as Matzah Lamed hits, according to the Takana, that we only do it for Chodesh Chaser, they're going to put up the fire. Everybody will know, okay? Rosh Hashanah was today, tomorrow is Beis Tishrei. On the other hand, if you're going to go and say that maybe that it was a mole and it hasn't been done yet, so then people are going to think to themselves, today was Lamed, maybe it was Rosh Hashanah, maybe it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. I really don't know, because they didn't put up the fire. And you only put up the fires by the mole. So we're going to have to wait until tomorrow night. And then tomorrow night, if they put up a fire, then I know that Rosh Hashanah was taken tomorrow. Beis. If they don't do a fire, that means it was a Chodesh Choser, and therefore Rosh Hashanah was today. So again, I don't know, is it a one-day Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, was Rosh Hashanah already today? There was no fire, I don't know, because Choser they don't send out, according to the Gemara's Kasha, right? The Gemara's Shaila is, V'levet HaMole, V'levet HaChoser. So on Choser, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it tonight on Matzah Lamed. I don't know in Gola whether today was Rosh Hashanah or not. So I'm going to wait until tomorrow night. If tomorrow night there will be a fire, then I'll know that Rosh Hashanah was in fact tomorrow. But if there won't be a fire tomorrow night, that means that Rosh Hashanah was the first day. But since I didn't know, I'm going to have to be machmer on both days. So we don't want it to be mitzvah malacha li'am shnei yamim. That's why they said a chosev li'am.
Yeah. Since the days of Ezra, we only get 29 days elul.
True. How come Rava had to go and fast 2 days?
He was
a machmer, but the Gemara said. Gemara said that Rava was machmer kol yom of 2 days, and then one day, Baruch Hashem, it turned out that they were ma'arech the month, and therefore he was happy that he was always machmer, so he always did it. And then what happened by Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman had fasted the whole day, and then a shliach came from Dimhara, and he could have waited until after Havdalah. Right. He told him immediately, he says, I don't know if I'm going to live another day. So we see that, in fact, it did transpire sometimes thereafter. Levi came from Eretz Yisrael, he told everybody, Chevra, you're all eating a beautiful suda today in Yeral.
It's
Yom Kippur. What are you doing over here? Do you want to be masid? I can't say Eidus, because they didn't say Eidus unless they heard it, but Kodesh HaChodesh in here. So you see that it did happen subsequently, talking not in the times of Ezra, but later on. Anyway, back to our Gemara. So that's why they were masakin, that they should only masi and masuis after choser, not after malik. From here, Rabbi Isai, the Gemara goes much smoother sailing. Well, we're going to need a little bit of help from our good friend Brother Shai, because some of the words in the Gemara require special definitions, as we'll see. Kaysani masi masuis mevi and klunzois. The Mishnah said klunzois shall erez. Erez, as we know, is cedar wood. Klunzois are large poles, and they put up the big pole like a flagpole full of fire, so they should see it further and further into the Gola. Umra Yehuda, Dalet Mina Rosenei, there are four different types of Erez, species of trees. You have Erez, you have Kasrum, you have Eitz Shomen, and you have Barosh. What is Kasrum? Umra of Amarav, that's Adra. Our Gemara doesn't go into what Adra is, but we had that, if you remember, back in Masechtas Be'er, where the Gemara said that a person who wants Misha Yiskaimu Nechosav, he wants in his Nechosav, should remain in his Rishus, nobody should take it away, Yitin Bahen Ador, he should go and plant in it an Ador. And the Gemara explained over there that Ador was a real strong tree, twice like you have in the Sierras, and those fancy trees in San Francisco, right? They have those
sequoias.
The sequoias. Oh, not the Sierras, sequoias. Sequoia trees.
See, I told you. The Sierras mountain areas.
Oh, good, but we're talking about the trees now. So the sequoia tree, see, he has such a sequoia tree. If Mr. Yankel Smith will say that this property belongs to me, everybody will laugh. Ha ha ha. This has belonged to the Jones family now for the last 100 years. Everybody knows. So Adra is a famous tall tree. The Rav Shil Amri, it's the Mavliga tree. What is the Mavliga tree? What's up there? Mavliga? Do you have anything in the English?
No.
The Amrilan, some say Zugulmish. So it's a machlokes whether it's the Adra tree, the Mavliga tree, or the Gulmish tree. Upliga the Rabba Baravuna. That we just said that there are four types. Are the Rabba Baravuna, the Rabba Baravuna, Amri Bei Rab. Asora mina rozume, there are 10 altogether. Shenemar. Etting ba midbar, I'm going to give in the midbar, in the wilderness, in the desert. We're going to have now four. Erez, Shita, Vahodos, the 8 Shomen. Erez is the normal Erez. Shita, we'll see exactly what that means. Hodos is the Hadassim, like we have on Sukkis. The 8 Shomen. That's in the midway, we have four. Osim Barova, Barova on the plains. We're going to have another three. Baroish, Tidhar, Visashur, Yachtov. Together. So we have altogether a list of 7, 4 plus 3, and the Gemara is going to ask in another few lines, didn't you say that there are 10? So Rabbi Isai, don't get tzachish and tzaridit, and yet we're going to address that. So now, what are all of these terms? Erez is arza. Arza means cedar trees. What is shita? Shita is tornisa. Rashi says tornisa means a pine tree. Ha! Those are their tornisa. Hadas is asa. Asa is hadasim, like we have on sikhis. Eit shaman is afarsama. Afarsama means balsam, where you get balsam oil. So those are the first four. Then we get to broish is barta. Barta, I think the article says, is boxwood. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know what boxwood is, but whatever it is, it is. And then tidor is shaga. Is that oak, I think?
It looks like hadas.
It looks like hadasim.
It's like a shrub.
Like a shrub.
A lot of people plant them. It's the same boxwood that we use today.
Yeah.
Okay.
For hedges.
Do they make boxes out of boxwood?
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay.
But it's shaped like a box. That's right. Why.
Ah. It makes it look like
a box.
Very good. Okay, shkoyach. Then tidor is shaga. Shaga is?
Fir.
F-I-R, not fir, F-U-R, but F-I-R. And sasher is shurivna. And shurivna is?
Yeah, shurivna.
It's just called shurivna.
Shurivna was not explained to him.
Wasn't explained. Okay, so it wasn't explained to us either. Good, so that's Shurivna. You say we have 10 altogether. I only reckon those, I only enumerated 7. So Timarki, they eventually added to the list of the 7, Aloinim, Almoinim, Almoigim. Now, what are the definitions of these terms? We have Aloinim. Aloinim are Butmi. You're leaving at the moment we need you so badly. These are elms, right? Is that elm tree?
Yeah.
Elm trees. Almoinim are bluti. Bluti are?
Oaks.
Oak tree. And almoigim is kisisa. Kisisa is coral.
like you have coral at the bottom of the ocean. Mm-hmm. So Almogim is coral. And we're going to talk about coral in another moment.
Coral, the...
C-O-R-A-L. It's a form of wood.
Not a coral tree.
It's a coral tree that you find at the bottom of the ocean.
Never heard about a coral tree.
Well, whether you heard of a coral tree or not. It's coral growth.
Coral reefs.
Good. It's a coral reefs. Excellent. Ikedi Amri. There is another view. Not that they added aloinim, almoinim, and almoigin, but rather they added aroinim, armoinim, and almoigin. What are these? Aroinim is ori. Ori says Rashi. That's laurel. L-A-U-R-E-L, laurel trees. Armoinim is dulvi. Dulvi are chestnut trees. Rashi says castanya. Castanya is German for chestnuts. And almoigim is kasisa. Kasisa is the same coral that we spoke about before. So now we've gone through all the 10. And now the Gemara is going to focus on coral for a moment. Coral at the bottom of the ocean at one time, and perhaps even today, was very, very precious. As the Gemara will explain. But see, Adir Yilo Yavrenu. Now this is a pasuk that we had, if you remember, back in Masechet Shkolim, where the Gemara told us that one of the she'orim of the Beis Hamikdash was called the Shar HaMayim. And the Gemara explained why is it called the Shar HaMayim, because there was a trickle of water that left the Kodesh Kadoshim, continued through the Heichal, went through the Azara, and as it kept on going from place to place to place, it got expanded further and further. When it left the Beis Hamikdash, it really became wide, and this pasuk, which is a pasuk in Yeshaya, is telling us that in Yetz Hashem, Le'usa Lovai, it's going to be like a huge ocean only a few kilometers away from the Beis Hamikdash, because that little trickle is going to become so big with Si Adar Le'Yavrenu. What's a Tzi Adir? Amarav Zu Burni Gedoyla. This is a huge ship, like a Titanic, will not be able to pass such a huge, huge body of water. So now the Gemara wants to know, Heichi Avdi, why would they make these large ships? And the Gemara tells us, as we'll see in a moment, to be able to have the fishermen fish under the water and bring up coral. So what do they do? Maisu Shit Alfi Gabri. They brought 6,000 people, Betresi Yarchi, over a period of 12 months. Tresi Yarchi Shota. The Amila, oh, this, I'm sorry, start again. Maisu Shit Alfi Gabri, 6,000 people, 6,000. Betresi Yarchi Shota over a period of 12 months. The Amila, and others say Tresi Alfi Gabri, 12,000 people, Beshita Yarchi Shota. Over a 6 month period of time. Lamaisa comes out the same, 6,000 for 12 months, or 12,000 for 6 months. And what would they do during that time? The 20 lo chala, they would go and fill up this ship with choil, with sand. The shochna, until it was shochin, until it went all the way down to the bottom of the river, the bottom of the ocean. And Rashi explains that this was such a huge ship that even though it is now down on the ocean bed, down below, still the ship is protruding from the top because it had very, very tall walls. So you could still enter and leave the ship, even though the ship is, I don't know, 20 feet down, 50 feet down, 100 feet down, very, very close. Even though it's all the way submerged on the bottom of the ocean. And now what do? The reason why they put the choil in is so that the ship should not float, but the ship should in fact be down on the bottom. Vinoch is bar armoy. Bar armoy means divers would go down now. The kotar atuni de kisna bikisisa. They would initially go and tie bonds of kisna. Kisna is of slax or of linen, which Rashi says are very strong ropes or strong cords. They would attach one side bikisisa to the corals on the ocean bed, on the ocean floor. The kotalu besvinza, and on the other side of this chain, of this cord, they would attach it to the Svina, to this large, huge ship. And after they tied it very, very well, but not lichala, then slowly but surely they would remove the sand from this huge ship. But Shadal of Rani, they would throw it out. They don't need it anymore. The Kama de Medallia, and now as the ship begins coming back to the surface again, begins to start floating, guess what? Okra umasya. It's going to uproot the corals on the bottom of the ocean, and now they're going to come up together with the ship. Now, if you're wondering how precious are they, umachlef al chad train bekaspa. For one measure of coral, you were able to go and get 2 measures of kesef of silver. So obviously, these corals were considered to be very precious. For one coral, you're willing to give away 2 kesef.
Then the Gemara continues. Klas Parvis Ahavian. There were three famous ports at that time. The word Parvis, as Rashi, means Nomol, or like they say in Eretz Yisrael, Namal. Like the airport is Namal Tufa. This is the port for, this is obviously not an airport, but this is for ships. So you have three big ports. Tarti Bay Armoy, two were by the, in Aram. However, on the side is another Girsa, not Armoy, but Roimoy. These two were Roman ports, as after all, in the times of the Gemara, Rome was at its Roman Empire, etc. Anyways, you had two big famous ports in Rome. Part of the Roman Empire, the Chodah de Bay Parsoi, and one was in Persia. De Bay Armoy, or De Bay Roimoy, Maskon Kesisa. There they would go and bring up the Kesisa, that's the corals that we just spoke about. De Bay Parsoi by the Persian port, Maskon Marginaisa. Apparently there wasn't coral over there. Apparently there were a lot of oysters with a lot of pearls, and from there they would go and bring up the pearls from down below in the, from the ocean bed. Umekaria, and what was the name of the Persian port? Parvisa de Mashmehik. Rashi says that means the port of the Malchus. This was known as the port of the kingdom. Rashi says, Nomol Shel Melucha. Now, Mal Shel Melucha. So this was...
This was with most of the
shipping and importing and exporting.
Supply chain, yeah?
Right? Exactly, and probably also for traveling, for tourists and for businessmen, and etc., etc. People going to Chasanis, and who knows what. This was the old Lud port years ago, or Haifa port is probably more appropriate. Amar Rav Yochanan. Now we're coming back to the Erez, and we said that one of the Erez is Shita. Amar Rav Yochanan, because Shita v'Shita shenot l'nochrim Yerushalayim. Any one of the Shita trees that was taken by the Goyim away from Yerushalayim, Osa Kadosh Baruch Hu achzir en lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to return them. Shenemar says in the Pasuk, Etein b'midbar Erez Shita. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give in the midbar the Erez Shita. The reference to Midbar is Yerushalayim. Shnemar Tzion Midbar Hoisen. Nebuch Tzion meaning Yerushalayim. Nebuch became like a Midbar after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the destruction of Yerushalayim. So therefore, the word Midbar is now a reference to Yerushalayim. Etzem and Midbar Eretz Shita. Kadosh Baruch Hu will return all the Shita to Yerushalayim. Again, since we said that one of the Erez species is a Hodos, Hodos are the Hadassim, the myrtles that have a beautiful scent. Whoever learns Torah and doesn't teach it to others, he is compared to a myrtle in the desert. Meaning, what value does he have? When you have Hadassim here in civilization, people can smell it and people say, oh, that smells so good. Ah, Gevaldik. But if it's out in the Midbar, nobody appreciates it. So a person who learns Torah and doesn't share it with others, nobody gets an appreciation of that Torah. So it's like a Hadass out in the Midbar. Ikri Yamad is another version called Limit Torah Umalamda, the Mokam Shein Tamid Chachamim. What happens if you come to a place with the Arnav Timid Chachamim and you come and learn Torah and teach Torah over there? Oh, Daim Lahadass Bamidbar, the Chaviv. Just like when you come into the Midbar and you're trying to find some sort of life, some sort of whatever, you know, for miles and miles you see nothing except a cactus. So you get to a Hadas Midbar. Oh, Baruch Hashem, epis. So over here too, Nebuch, a place where it's Kulay Amaratzim, they know Tamid Chacham, someone comes to teach Torah, that's like a Hadas in the Midbar that is very chav.
And the Shluchim convention now.
Right, the Shluchim, like the Kirov, exactly, 100%.
Siberia.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful, it's beautiful.
There.
I was there over Shabbos. I was in Muncie. So someone told me that he lives next door to a Russian Jew who he's lived there for a while. He says more than good morning, good afternoon. He never has any shaykhus with a neighbor. Fortunately, unfortunately, those are the facts. And he says that recently there's a Lubavitcher shliach who is visiting from somewhere in Russia. He gave me the name. I don't remember it. He met that Russian Jew, and of course the first day that he met him, he put a tefillin on him. So the neighbor that was speaking to me says, can you imagine, I've been here for who knows how long, and I know this fellow, I never would have thought to go and put on tefillin. This Yid from Russia came, Halabavitcher, first thing he did was, he put tefillin on him. So the Kirov is a Gevaldi Gezach.
More about the
Karkaf, the Monach tefillin, we had a couple of days ago, exactly right. V'yom Rav Yochanan, Oylem Oyvi Kachom She'in Lehem Tachana. Woe is it to the Goyim that they're never going to be able to have a tikkun on the terrible Aveira that they did, that they killed Rabbi Akiva v'Chaverav.
Shnem, like it says in the pasuk, tachas and achoishes ovi zahav. Instead of the copper, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we can bring gold. Vesachas abarzel ovi kesef. Instead of the iron, we can go and bring silver. Tachas eitzim achoishes. Instead of the wood, we can go and bring copper. Tachas avon and barzel. Instead of the stones, we'll bring barzel. However, tachas Rabbi Kiva chaveirav may mivin. There's no tashlim. There's no way of going and filling the shoes of the terrible aveda that we had when the goyim went and killed Rabbi Akiva and his chaverim. Presumably he's referring to Uli Asara, Uli Malchus. There's nothing that they can do to atone for this terrible aveda. And that's why it says in the pasuk, "Vini Kesi." Even though Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "I'm willing to go and be menake, to go and wipe the clay, wipe the slate of all other sins that the goyim have done, but damam, the dam that they shed of Rabbi Kiva Chaverav, lo in the case. For that, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, there is no excuse, there's no way I'm going to wipe the slate clean, they will have that stain on them forever and ever. Talking more about, we said in the Mishnah, that the furthest mountain which was enumerated in the Mishnah was Beis Baltzim. Right tomorrow, my base falcon. What is that base falcon? Omerav zu biram. That is biram. What is biram? So if you look at the top, Toisus says that's apparently a mountain which is close to the border between Eretz Yisrael and Babel, and therefore our Mishnah is telling us that that was the furthest mountain still in Eretz Yisrael before they continued the fires into Gola, into Chutzlars.
Babel is much further. I mean, if these were eight parsos, you said in the introduction. If there was eight persos, it
probably between each mountain.
Right.
So there's at least 32. But we're not finished yet. Wait for the Gemara. You'll get to it. Anyway, so it says that after all of the fires were lit up on all the mountaintops, Kola Goyla, Roya Kola Goyla, the fun of Kendura Seisha. It looked like the entire Bava was on fire. Rav Yosef, my Goyla, Rav Yosef, Zupum Bedisa. We don't really mean the entire Goyla. We mean the town or the city of Pumbedisa, which is brought in the Gemara from time to time, where you had many, many Yidin living there. There were yeshivas in Pumbedisa. So that's what we mean, that in Pumbedisa, everybody knew it was Rosh Chodesh. They saw the lights. They saw the mountaintops. They saw the fires. What do you mean by Duras Eish? It became kind of a minug that after everybody saw the fires on the mountaintops, that everybody decided to take their own torch in hand, go up to the tops of their rooftop, presumably to kind of celebrate that Rosh Chodesh has been discouraged by the Bezen HaGadol, and also to let everybody know the good news, it's Rosh Chodesh, etc. Tan Reb Shimon Elozar Imer Af Cholim V'Kiyar V'Geder V'Chabriseh. Not only those five mountains which are mentioned in our Mishnah, but also these additional mountains, the Chorim, the Kiyar, and the Geder, and others which are not enumerated. Now, where were these mountains located? Some say that it was located in between. In other words, although we only mentioned five, presumably these five are the ones that were very well known, very well established, everybody knows where the Har Zeisim is, and presumably the other Mishnah. These Harim Kirim presumably were not such significant mountains in terms of identification, so they're not mentioned, but these were scattered among the five which are enumerated in the Mishnah. No, they were on the other side. What is the other side? It sounds like from Rashi, the other side means that they had two parallel tracks, meaning, because not everybody lives exactly north of Eretz Yisrael. Some people live northeast and some people live northwest. So they seem to have had two parallel tracks, and therefore one track was what we had in our Mishnah, from Har Mishcha to the Beis Baltzim. And according to this Ikri Amri, this was another track of the Chorim and the Kiyar and the Ged of the Chabriseh, which were parallel, where they also lit up the mountaintops so people would know when's Rosh Chodesh. Mar Choshet Hagis and Mar Choshet Hagis. So there's no machloikis between the Mishnah and this Ikri Amri. And this was on one track and this was another track, but they in fact had both. Between every one of the mountains and the next mountain, there were eight parsois. Eight parsois remains, every parsa is 4 mil. So therefore you're talking about 32 mil. And every mil is 2,000 amas. So now you're talking about 64,000 amas. So 64,000 amas, how much is 64? That's 128,000 feet. How much is 128,000 feet?
60 miles.
60 miles?
52.
So let's make it simple. Let's make
5,000.
Let's make it 6,000. Okay. So 6,000 to 120,000 means 20 miles. It's a little bit more. It's 22, 25 miles.
Okay, so it's 20 miles. It's not, I mean,
okay, it's just, so now you're only talking about five mountaintops. But if you look at the Reb Shimon ben Elazar that says Achorim v'kiyah v'gedim v'chorisah ikriyami beini beini habakaimi, there may have been not just 5, there might have been 20 mounts, there may have been 30, may have been 50. We only mentioned the very prominent ones that were well known throughout the land, but there were lots of other mountains in between, and therefore it could have extended hundreds and hundreds and perhaps into the thousands of miles into Babel. So we didn't mention all of them, but just the prominent ones.
The headliners.
The Kama Havalahu, how much do you have all together if you add all the spaces together? Since in our Mishnah we had 4 intervals, like there were 5 mountains, that means 4 intervals. Each one is 8 parsois, 4 times 8 comes out to roughly, plus the tartin, 32. If I travel from the Har HaMishcha to the next mountain, which was the Sartava, it takes me longer than 8 parsois, it takes me 20 miles, 50 miles, whatever. That they did was they closed off some of the roads, and therefore, although years ago you were able to go and travel like the bird travels straight from one mountain to the other on a clear road, because they closed up some of the roads, you have to go a room and a room. You have to go in circles, around, a detour, up and down, to the right, to the left, up. So it takes much longer. Sirim, I believe, are thorns, and they put thorns on all sides, so you couldn't go police block, whatever, and you have to go to the left side, the right side. Anyway, it took longer.
Now, the 32 parsos, we said, is 90 some miles, whatever. That's
32 parsos. Each parsa is 4 mil. So if you take 4 times 32, you get to 128. We're only dealing with the 1, the 8. We didn't do the multiplication vis-a-vis plus and a tartan. Let's do the 8. 8 means each parsa is 4 mil, so 8 times 4 is 32 mil. Each mil is 2,000 amas. So now if you have 32 times 2,000, that gets you to 64,000 amas. An amma, let's say, is 2 feet, so 64,000 becomes 128,000 feet. How much is 128,000 feet? So it's 5,280 is in 1 mile. So instead of making 5,000 to 8, let's make it 6,000. 124,000, 128,000 divided by 6,000 gives you a little bit more than 20, right? 20 times 6,000, 128,000. So it's 5,280, it's 128, so it's 22 miles, 25 miles, 30 miles. But that's per interval. Then you have to multiply that 4 times because you have the 5 mountains. Okay? Anyway,
80, 90 miles, right?
Yeah, 89. If you add it all together, 80, 90 miles. That's correct. But Barry's not happy about it because Barry says from Michelin to Bubble is much more than 80, 90 miles. And if you have all those other mountaintops and each one of them has the same interval, you keep on adding and adding. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Meihacha Dechsev Nisivoyisai Iva. Nisivoyisai means my pathways, Iva, were corrupted, were detoured, and therefore that's why you can't travel as the bird travels. You got to go a limited. Look, the Mishnah. When the Edom came to Yerushalayim, especially when they came together on Shabbos, Chotzer Gedoy Lohis Yerushalayim, there was a big Chotzer, Beis Yazik Hoysenikos, it was called Beis Yazik. We'll see in the Gemara why it was called Beis Yazik. Uvisham Kala Edom Iskansen, all of the Edom would get together in Beis Yazik. Ubezdom Boitkin Oysam Sham. Remember we had, the other day, we had 40 pairs of Edom. Other times it may have been more than it, then less. And the bezel would be biting them. And Usa'udis Kidoilis Oysen Lehem. And they specially made Akrois a Kiddush. We're not Kiddush club. They mach Akrois a Kiddush, Akrois Sudis, Bishosh Yurigil Lavoi, so that people would come. This would be an enticement and encouragement. Otherwise, every single time, I schlep all the way to Yerushalayim, and then they don't even look at me, and they say they have already 100 Edom, and this will disincentivize people from coming. To incentivize them, they said, Ah, Mamacha, Agroin, so see the, whoo, Kesuda Shloim and Beshat. Initially, they didn't allow any of these Edom to leave Beis Yazik. They were sequestered. Like today, everybody knows what sequestered means. They were quarantined. They all had to stay there in the Beis Yazik. What's the reason why? Because of tchum problems. Right. They left their tchum. So whenever you leave your tchum, even though here they're doing it the same mitzvah, now you're stuck in your Dalet Amis. Not Dalet Amis Mamish, but in the entire Beis Yazik. And I don't know how large this Chatzar Gedoyla was. Whatever it was, that's all they were able to walk. They couldn't go out of the Beis Yazik. But of course, people were discouraged by that. And I'm stuck here the whole Shabbos. That they were able to go outside of the Beis Yazik, and not only the Beis Yazik, but we'll see from the end of the Mishnah, that became like the people who lived in Yerushalayim. They were able to go the whole Yerushalayim, and another 2,000 Amis
on all sides. And not only these, the Edom, but they were Mesakin al Af Chachama HaBolet, the Yalet. If you ever have a situation with a midwife, today it would be a doctor or a PA or a nurse or whatever that comes to help out in giving birth. You have a fireman that's coming to help you get the fire. Umenagayas, military that has to do with battle and war. Umenanor, chasashom, if there's a flood. Menapoilus, chasashom, a building collapse, like Rachmon Leslan we had in Surfside, and things of that nature. Then, once they come in Shabbos, and they run, and now the disaster has been dealt with, what do they do now? So now they stuck and they can't move Dalit on this. They have Harry Haynes, who is the second here, that just like all the other people in that city, they can go all over so that they should feel a degree of freedom. They shouldn't feel as if they're locked up when they came to shame the Bar Mitzvah. So, if I'm not mistaken, this is one of the Mekoides for a Moshe's Tshuva that the Hatzalah people are allowed to go to the disaster, to go to the case. There's no question. The question about coming back from the hospital.
Right.
So if you're going to go and tell them that they have to stay there, that will act as a major disincentive to come next time. And we want to incentivize the Hatzalah people to come again and again and again. Chas v'shalom, if it's necessary. So therefore, this is, I believe, one of the basis of the Hatzalah. However, other Rabbanim disagreed with Ramosha, and they felt that this mission is only talking about Hilchos Tchumen. As far as Tchumen is the Rabbanim. If you're talking about driving a car, driving an ambulance, then that's already involving Yisurim D'Araisa. So it's not a perfect parallel. But nevertheless, Rav Moshe held that one can. In certain Hatzalah communities, for instance, in Brooklyn, in Kiryas Yoel, and other places, they have goyim that are on call every single Shabbos and every single Yom Tov to return from the call. In other words, they have them stationed at the hospitals, so whenever the call is over, the goy drives it back and not the yid, because to be machmer like those other shittas. So, Gemara Ibailu. It says in a Mishnah, Beis Yazik spelled Yud Ayin Zayin Kuf. Beis Yazik Tanan, or Beis Yazik Tanan without the Ayin. Beis Yazik Tanan, Lishna Ma'al Yehu, Tachsiv Vayyaz Keyu Vayyisakleu. It's coming to tell us a nice expression, a positive expression. The word Vayyaz Keyu means to go and put up a nice fence and enclosure for Shmira, Vayyisakleu, and they removed the stones, and they really cleared it out, and it's now pretty and nice. And is that the Beis Yazik? Or you know, Beis Yazik Tanan, Lishna Ditaru. It has a negative connotation. The person was bound in chains. He was tied up. And therefore, a person, you could look upon this as being like a mini chasana. They have over there all of these suda gedoyla, and presumably they had beautiful flowers over there, and they probably had mizamrim that was singing the whole Shabbos. So it was really a beautiful Shabbos. And therefore, that would be vayaskeyu. Or, at least initially, they weren't able to leave Beis Yazik, so they felt like they were in prison. They felt like they're in chains. So therefore, it has both a positive and a potential negative connotation.
The second expression is spelled with an aleph, not with an ayin.
Right. And an aleph ayin is mischalef.
Okay.
Amar Rabbi Toshima Sudei Kedoshim Oisim Sham Oisim Lehem Sham Kedei Shehu Regilin Lavay. Oh, so it sounds like the first shot and not the second shot. That this is comfortable and nice and gewaldig and not chas v'shalom loshen of tzar. So to a nishkarai, domatarti avdibahu. At least initially, maybe there was both. It was taka very comfortable and it was a beautiful kiddush and a beautiful suda, but it was still confining because I couldn't move. So it could be both interpretations are plausible and possible. So to Mishnah Baita. How are we boidik the Edom? Zug Shabbat Rishon, the first pair that came in, boidik Oisa Rishon, in other words, first come, first serve, we would go and be boidik Rishon. Oh, Machti says, we would take the older one of the two. Vo'imam Lai. And more. How did you see the Levana? Did you see the Chama in front of the Chama in front of the sun? Or the Achra Chama? Or in back of the Chama? In other words, on the horizon, when you see the Chama and Levana, obviously throughout the day you don't see the Levana. This would have to be at a twilight Zman. When you saw the Levana, did it appear before the sun or after the sun on the horizon? Was it Litzvayna? Was it the northern side of the drain, but to the southern side? How high was it on the horizon? In which direction did it lean? Did it go to the right, to the left? And how wide was it? If he says that he saw the this is Gunish, because there is no such thing. By definition, when you have the new Moilat HaLevana, the Levana is always behind the Chama and not in front of the Chama. So what did he say? Not that he's saying a Sheker, but if he saw a meteor or he saw a cloud and he thought it was the Levana, but he made a mistake.
After he went through the whole Shakla Nataria and he either failed or he passed, then they brought in the second fellow, and then they would ask him all the shaylas. And them to Devrei Mechuvanim, if they both said the same thing, it was in Kayamas. Everybody else, we didn't just say, okay, we already have our edus, we don't need you guys, because again, we want to incentivize them for coming every time, so we want to make them feel like choshev mechutanim. So we go and ask them Rashi Dvarim, like Rashi Prakim. We wouldn't go into detail because we already know we have good edus, but we'd ask him, you know, touch on a couple of points, and after they came, oh, shkoyach, oh, we appreciate you, okay? We didn't need them. They shouldn't go and feel disgruntled and rejected and ejected and dejected because of the fact that show shiragil and loway, because we want to incentivize them to come again and again and again. Sorry?
Nice
muscle. Nice muscle. Very good. We said in the Mishnah that they asked him a question about Lefnei Achama, and we also asked them Litzvayna. Isn't that both the same thing? So Rashi, you have a long Rashi in the Mishnah who goes a little bit about the path of the sun and the moon, that it goes initially down and then it comes up again. It's a fascinating Rashi. And Yad Hashem, on Wednesday night, I already sent out an email last night. For those of you that saw it, it's great. For those who didn't see it, Yad Hashem, on Wednesday night at the Kollel, there's going to be a beautiful presentation from, I think, Rabbi Ostreicher, audio, video presentation on all the mazalis, the constellations, and the moilid, and the tekufais, and the chama, and the levana. It promises to be very exciting. He's already put on such a presentation in a few locations, and everybody has accepted it with a great...
8 o'clock.
I think 7:45 is Maariv, 8 o'clock is the presentation, and a second Maariv at 9 o'clock. So everybody's invited.
It's 1 hour.
I assume so. I guess 8 to 9. Maybe if there won't be any questions, it'll be 8:45. And if there'll be a lot of questions, it'll be 9:15. Well, you'll see, Mir Tisham. Isn't and the Gemara repeated it twice, right? The Mishnah said, we ask him, so why are you asking the same question twice? What they're really asking is the pogum. The pogum is that place, that side of the mountain which is indented, which is in the crescent shape, not the full-blown moon, because as we know, the moon keeps on getting larger and larger to our sight, to our vision, until it gets full moon in the middle of the month. So the begima is that part that's cut out. So he's saying, was the begima the cut-out part? Was the lefnei achama? Was that towards the sun? Or was the begima la'achra chama away from the sun? So that the sun saw the round part of the chama, as opposed to the pegima, the part that's been cut out from the chama. Imam lefnei achama liyamaklum. If he said lefnei achama, this is gunished. Yom Rabbi Yechim might chsib ham shalafachet imoy oise shalom bimroima. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes shalom upstairs in Shemayim. What means shalom bimroima? Do you have a fight going on in Shemayim? Do the stars fight? Do the moon and the sun, are they at loggerheads? Are they fighting a battle? The Yomar mi oilum leruasa cham pegimasa shalavana. This is also Musa Haschel. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that the Chama should see the Begima of the Levana. In other words, that where the Levana is missing the rest, it's pogum, it's only carved out.
The concave.
The concave of the Levana should not face the Chama, because then the Chama will see the busha of the Levana. I, the Chama, I'm so proud, I'm all full, and the Levana never chaps a kleinekite. The Begimasa shall keshes. The same thing applies that the Chama didn't see the Begam of the Levana and not the Begam of the Keshes. Pigimasa show Levana the Chol Shadaita. We don't want that the Levana should have Chalisha Sadas. After all, the Levana is still upset about that Kadosh Baruch Hu made it small at the time of Bria Sa'olam, and every single month we keep on bringing a carbon LaHashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal says, I need a Kapara, Nebuch Shemiatati Es Hayarech. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, enough. I don't want the Levana to be any further embarrassed by the sun. So always the sun only sees the back of Levana, doesn't see the front, the concave carved out portion. Ultimate monster shall catch us. Same thing applies to the rainbow, that the sun doesn't see the become the rain. Why not? The Levana people shouldn't say, that those who are the sun worshippers, those that worship the sun, shouldn't say giri ka mishaja, that the sun is now sending out its arrows. What does that mean, that the sun is shooting its arrows? Try to picture in your mind, what does a bow look like from the bow and arrow? You have the string that goes down, which is taut which is vertical, and then you have that round part, which is the bow. And then you go and pull on the string, and you pull on the arrow, and the arrow shoots. Ukidoma. Aha. So now, if you would have the sun in back, facing the bow shape of the keshes, so people would say, put two and two together. Look upon the sun as if the sun is the archer, and he's pulling on the string, and that's why he has that concave part of the bow in front of him, because the sun wants to go and shoot arrows. Now, you and I think, yeah, crazy, sun shoots arrows. But if you happen to be a sun worshipper, you think of the Chama as being the god, and being a celestial godly being, so therefore it shoots all types of arrows, which may be a meteors or other things like that, and so therefore, so people shouldn't say such nonsense that the keshes, which is directed towards the sun, where the sun sees the pagam, sees the concave part of the bow, that the chama is shooting arrows. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said it'll always be the other side of the bow and not the front side, so people are not going to say it's shooting arrows. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael Zagi, mentions Zagi.